If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Welcome to LeadCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 637 of the LeadCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick. Joining me is Aiden.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, we made it. Another Tuesday this week. We've got a little bit of LeadCast news. No new news. It's been a slow week. So we'll probably have a little bi-weekly discussion. Probably a lot of discussion in the competitive league section. We'll do roundtable and mail fight. Aiden, tell me about your week, buddy.
I was good. I have progressively less League of Legends things to talk about. But starting, I hit Diamond Flex Queue.
That's pretty
League of Legends related.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We played Diamond and Flex Queue. Colton was getting boosted on his account while we were playing. Someone was playing on his account. But we made it to Diamond, and it was easy peasy. So now I get my Diamond Kog'Maw skin.
It's actually crazy that you were able to get Diamond in like 6 games. They should really do a full reset every season.
Dude, I love it, though. I love them. We were playing a flex game, just for context. We don't need to leave our audience out.
Yeah.
And Colton was playing Kindred, which is a character he's historically played many years. This year, he is
a
support-only player, I'd say, this year, compared to other years.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think the biggest piece of context there is in the load screen, you can see that I have, like, 90,000 points on Kindred, which isn't a crazy amount, but, like...
But it's not a small amount.
It's significant, yeah.
Yeah.
You haven't played 10 games on the character, and that's it.
Anyways,
go ahead.
Dylan got mad at him. Dylan being this fucking like D2 fucking Elise One trick. His account name was something like Webmaster or I love webs.
Into
web
my
on
web.
My face. Something like that. After game, Colton like hard carries the game solo playing Kindred, and he goes, "Nice boost. You don't play jungle or Kindred," and then leaves. So I immediately cyber stalk him because I don't let people you know my friends. I didn't get to interact with him, by the way, because he never added me back. He just immediately blocked me. But like I found his Twitch channel, and he goes, "Hello, my name is Dylan. I enjoy drawing, and when it comes to video games, I'm just a casual League of Legends player who currently bounces from Plat, Diamond on my Smurfs and main, always here to try and help my best with tips or just to chill and hopefully entertain you." Dude, fucking, oh dude, what a loser, man. I also went into his Discord channel, like server, but he wasn't there. If he was in a voice channel, dude, I would have confronted him.
Oh my God.
Just makes me so mad that people like just say shit like this, man. Fucking loser. Ugh.
It's like the same mentality as people who are like who make fun of your rank and then like they're like, link your main then, and it's like higher than them. It's like, yeah, well, Masters 300 is piss low anyway, even though I've never gotten out of Plat.
No, what like, actually happens is they say that, and they go, I'm higher, and then they don't like their main and leave and then block you.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, people just want to be angry about what they're angry about. They just want to be right, and like, when confronted with any information otherwise, they ignore it. I don't know. It's like it's also the people who are like you're hard stuck, and it's like 50 games, 70% win rate. It's like that's do you know what that means?
They just want to say words, man.
Yeah,
don't we
do.
All though?
Maybe I should add him now, like a week later. Yes. It's only been 3 days. I feel like.
I mean, I'm sure he's not going to accept it, but.
But either way, that was.
I think I'm a viewer.
That was our experience of Flex. It was pretty fun for the most part. Other than that, progressing to less League of Legends by immediately shifting off of League of Legends, I've been playing a shitload of MapleStory. Hey, this is my call out. If you are a listener of this podcast and also play MapleStory, it's a pretty small subsection, I'm sure. And you have a Black Mage group on Kronos. Hey, if you want to carry me on my Black Mage, I need to start my liberation mission, I will literally boost your account to master here in League of Legends. For a black mage carry. It's an 8-month process. I will literally get you master tier. If you're a rioter listening, God. I'm joking. If you're not a rioter listening, you know how to find me.
Oh my God.
Cool. That's
Rioters,
my
close your ears.
That's my Maple story update of the week. And then last I watched all of the Fallout show, and it's really, really good. And I think people who even have never played Fallout would enjoy it. So
nice.
Also, I think I might start. I think it's gotten a lot of people into like wanting to like replay through Fallout, like one of the games. Have you ever heard of the mod Tale of Two Wastelands?
No, I haven't.
It looks really cool. It's built in the Fallout New Vegas engine, and you have to own all of Fallout 3, including all of its DLCs and all of New Vegas and all of its DLCs, but it allows you to play through all of Fallout 3 using the New Vegas engine, and then it transitions into the New Vegas at the end of Fallout 3 so with the same character and like everything. And I think it seems pretty cool and has like 300 mods. It's like a full like pack, and it looks really, really good, and I might like start that at some point.
Cool.
But that's my week.
Okay. You can play Fallout 76 with me instead.
Yeah, I heard it's like actually not bad now, but
yeah, I heard it as well, and I have also heard that you can't get griefed.
Yeah.
Like you both have to enable PvP to do it, but we'll see.
That is update.
I did see that there were 1 million concurrent players on Fallout 76 and then 5 million playing a Fallout game.
Yeah.
Globally, which is crazy.
Show is great though. I don't think you need to like know the world at all. I think like my dad could have watched it, he would have enjoyed it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
nice.
It's definitely a cool universe.
Would recommend. Also makes me really sad. I've always wanted this for a long time. It's like been in the pipeline a lot of times. A BioShock like show or movie.
That'd be cool.
Now that I've seen this, I'm like, damn, they could do a BioShock show and then have it not like not cover a specific game, but just be the world, and it'd be really, really cool, like in Rapture or something. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'll talk about my week now that Aiden's done talking, asking for people to help him in Maple Story.
Black Mage carry, Chronos server.
my week in League of Legends, I have not really been playing ranked solo queue, did a few flex games, I guess performed well enough on my solo queue 130 points account that this person thought I was a Smurf from a different ELO. I guess I hired a challenger player to play jungle with my 5-man flex.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
The way you're talking about it makes it sound like you did do that, by the way.
Yeah. I did do that, yeah. Yeah, I definitely don't have the VOD of me playing it and outplayed and us talking the whole time.
Yeah, it's pre-recorded.
Yeah, it's a little weird,
pre-recorded,
man.
Definitely. I've never played Kindred in ranked ever. I've been playing a lot of TFT though, up to Emerald 3 in solo, Plat 3 in double up. There was a patch, and then very quickly after that, a B patch, because some things needed adjustment. I still think some things need adjustment. There's they buffed Ashe, who is a 4 cost like 80 carry, and I think she's just like the best comp to play right now. I mean, they buffed some other 4 cost units. There's other comps that are playable, but I've had a lot of success just like forcing the same comp every game. So that's about all I have to say about League and TFT. Nick, what you been up to?
Playing flex and normals and ARAMs. Pretty excited for Arena. It should be really, really fun. Lots of Path of Exile, and I think that's basically it. So same old, same old. We'll get on with the show. Aiden, LeagueCast news update?
No LeagueCast news. At some point, I still will do trivia. I just haven't touched it since, but it will get done at some point.
TM soon, TM.
We'll do, like, I have a lot of things in the pipe. They're clogging the pipe right now.
that pipe pipe's is clogged. Fun.
We got like trivia game night. We got tournaments. We got the 1v1 like all champions 1v1 like big multi month tournament. We got a lot of stuff. The pipes are clogged, man. I need a plumber. Along with my Black Mage carry on Maple Story Hyperion server.
No one's gonna do it.
Dude, we have the subsection of people who like are this are like three.
There's no one.
Hey, there might be.
There's no one.
If you have a friend who's also willing to get me into their black mage party, also fine. If they're willing to do it, dude, I'll give you the carry. Cool. Oh, thank you, guys.
Cool. I guess let's jump into the bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a couple things. So I have this new, I call, okay. It's currently titled Aiden's Weekly New Player Tips, Episode 1. And then I have an asterisk next to weekly because it's not going to be weekly.
It's not going to be weekly, yeah.
That being said, I do think we could expand this discussion. I do think having like a, every once in a while doing like a little like new player experience type thing would be good. I do think maybe we could talk briefly after I do my Episode 1 of Aiden's New Player Tips. We could maybe talk about the new player experience like in general. This kind of comes from, so the topic this week, just to back up a second, is how to get champions fast. Mostly because I saw a Reddit thread of like, hey, I'm new to this game. How do I unlock characters? And every single comment I think was not a good explanation. Like it was kind of like just you play games and you get blue essence, which is like fine. But I feel like the main thing that I saw there was not a lot of players are new players who are on like Reddits or social medias. Therefore, I think people are sometimes a little out of touch and maybe don't know how to explain these things to new players. So I wanted to start this section where we spend a little bit of time like thinking about stuff that new players might struggle with and maybe giving some advice if you are a newer player. I do think newer players tend to gravitate towards like podcasts and stuff like that, educational content. So like just for this week, and we can maybe just like talk about the new player experience in general, I want to talk about getting new characters, which I think there's the easiest way in the game. And it does involve a little bit of a payment, but like this thread for context was being like, should I buy them? Like, I'm happy to put like $50 into the game if I want to, like, if you think buying is the quickest way. And people are like, yeah, you can buy characters that you want, but just like save up blue essence. And here's my tip. If you are willing to put in a small investment into the game, buy a pass for League of Legends. Buy a single pass. So like the $15 last like 45 days or 60 days or whatever pass. And then what most people use the passes for, and this is why I think there's a disconnect, is most people use the passes to get skins. They buy the orbs with the pass, or they buy the expensive 2,000 point skins. What you should do is you should buy the pass, you should play a bunch because you're excited, you're new to the game, and then you should use every single token you get on champion shards. Typically, if you play like a good amount, you'll get like 2,400-ish tokens throughout your pass, which equates to 48 champion shards. Those disenchant for characters that you don't want at about 1,000 blue essence apiece. And for the characters you do want, you get a discount on them. You get like I want to say it's like a 30%-ish discount on enchanting them. So if you do this, you disenchant the ones that you don't want, you get the discount on the ones that you do want. You can easily get like upwards of 25 characters depending on like the tiers of the ones that you're getting, which I think is the single best $15 in to value out for a new player coming to this game.
Yeah, the only thing I would otherwise recommend is if the game still has the Xbox Game Pass where you unlock a shit ton of characters, like that's probably the best, but it only lasts as long as you have the Game Pass, right?
It's a great way though, if you are new to the game and you're like, oh, I want to try a bunch of stuff, you can spend you can get the $1 Xbox Game Pass trial for 30 days, link it to your League of Legends account, and for 30 days you can try out whatever characters you want for $1. That would be that's a great example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I believe as long as you have the subscription, you will maintain all of the characters, right? Access to all the characters. And they do go away, but you're earning currency this entire time. You purchased the characters that you like.
I believe you get bonus XP as well, which levels you up quicker, which gets you more blue essence. I think it's 20% extra XP. Like,
there it is. Sick.
Yeah, it's great.
Cool. I think even those champion shards, I think it's actually closer to like 40 to 50%.
It's a lot.
Discount. Yeah, it's great. Like, at least for like the inexpensive ones. Like, I'm looking... Like, it costs 270 blue essence to get Nunu, who I think is a 450 blue essence character to buy normally.
Mm-hmm.
I think for higher cost ones, it's closer to like 30-40%. But yeah, I mean, like, if you get a ton of champion shards, you can pay like half for all characters that way.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing on a lot of my Smurfs recently, and I haven't been buying the passes, but you still get, like, say 200 points by, like, using the free version of the pass, like, each, whenever the pass comes around, and that gets you 4 champion shards, which I've just been using on my, like, Smurfs to get, like, characters I don't own. Like, it's a super great way to do it if you don't feel like you need skins at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And the reality is you don't need skins. If you're a new player, it's definitely not pay to win, so...
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, once again, I think it's also just a better use of your money if, like, you spend this and get characters and then you go, oh, I'd like to spend $10 on a skin at some point rather mm-hmm. than I want to spend $10 on Sejuani.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, also the value you get for your money, right? Because, yeah, the pass is $15. You probably get 3 champions for that.
No, versus... you probably get way more than that. Purchase.
Yeah, yeah.
With $15. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
If you purchase champions for RP, you get like 3. If you buy the pass, again, like Aiden said, you probably get like 20. Mm-hmm.
It's funny. If you buy the newer characters using Sharpie, you get like 1/8 for the value of the pass. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. But anyways,
the trade-off is that, like, you have to play, right?
Think if you're a newer player, you're already, like, wanting to play a bunch and grind. And
didn't want to, like, make the claim, right, that you just buy the pass and then suddenly you have all this stuff. You do have to play a bunch.
Yeah, you have to play a good amount. Mm-hmm. I think if you are playing the game pretty regularly, let's say, like, 3+ games, 3 or more times a week, you're probably mm-hmm. going to get to the end of mm-hmm. the pass.
Yeah.
Great. I feel like that was just something that I noticed that, like, I'm like surprised not a single person in that, like, 400 comment thread, like, said anything about that. I was like, mm-hmm. that's very interesting to me. I think there's just a bit of a disconnect. In general, like, I really would like to start giving a little bit of new, like, tips to new players. I know, like, a lot of our audience is more experienced, like, has played the game for a while, has been listening for a while. That being said, I think there's still a lot that maybe people could learn that they didn't already know. I've been, like, starting to make a list of, like, things that if I ever have a conversation with, like, either someone who I respect who does, like, League of Legends, like, coaching or podcasting, or someone from, like, the Riot staff, like, just cool things. Like, I want to ask people how much they look at their character versus look at the enemy character when they're playing, right? Because I think that's a very interesting disconnect that I feel like I've never heard people talk about, other than it got brought up once in our Discord of, like, someone was asking, hey, how often do you guys look at your own character when playing? I think I look at my character like 60% of the time, and then the enemy character like 40%. And I was like, holy shit, I've never thought of this. I think I look at my character 5% of the game. Like,
yeah, it's hard to tell. I like, without paying attention to it.
Yeah, because, like, I think I just am clicking and I always know where my character is without looking at them, so I almost never look at them, which is mm-hmm. very interesting. And I feel like that's something that if you're a new player, I'm assuming you mostly are looking at your own character, right? Like, you're like learning how to click around and path around. And I love questions like that that you would never think about unless you got into the mind of a newer player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough one, because, like, I can give a rough guess, but I am sure that I'm way off the actual number.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would almost, like, love to use an eye tracker for all three of us and, like, average out a couple games. And, like, there'd have to be some sort of way of, like, doing it automatically where it's, like, cut mm-hmm. time on your character or something. But
yeah, that'd be really cool. Yeah, I think also it'd be really interesting data to see, like, how that changes throughout the game of, like, in a team fight versus laning versus, you know, like, mid game or late game, right? Because, like, I think in the early game I'm looking at my character a lot more.
Yeah, same.
Because there's just not a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in team fights, I'm probably tracking a lot more of what the enemies are doing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's great. Do you guys have any other cool, like, new player, not even, like, tips? We don't have to get into tips right now, but we can maybe save some for, like, a couple other weeks. But things that might be relevant for newer players that you think are just something that, off the top of your head. I know we didn't really prep for this.
I think we've said it a million times, and I'll say it again. I think if you're newer to the game and trying to get familiar with what characters look like and what they do, I think ARAMS is a great resource for that. You'll get to see a bunch of characters, you'll get to play a bunch of characters, you get to fight and learn how to use your spells and combo, and, like, you're not going to learn Summoner's Rift macro and lane phase, but I think the huge, like, initial difficult part of League of Legends is, like, who is that character and what are their abilities?
Yeah.
And yeah,
if you don't know those things, like, I don't care how good your laning fundamentals mm-hmm. are. If this is the first time you've played against a Kled, you're probably going to get dumpstered.
Yeah.
Right?
I think one of the things you should do as well as a newer player is if you find that you have purchased a character and you don't like them, you can go into I think the account tab in the store mm-hmm. and you can refund characters that you don't like. You get all that you spent back. You can do that with skins as well if you end up not liking a skin. There's a limited amount, but you get some more every year, I think. Aren't they doing
one
that
a year
now?
Yeah.
And it's just a good way to be like, oh, wow, I really don't like Volibear. I'm going to, you know, save some time and get a different character instead. Cool. Yeah, that'll have to be something that we spend some time on to compile a good list. Or if there are newer players who want an in-depth guide on something, like, let us know and we'll be happy to help out. Sweet. Is there anything else we wanted to do in the bi-weekly discussion?
Yeah.
We have a little bit of time.
A short little thing talking about a potential arena challenge.
Yeah.
Because everything has to be a challenge. So Nick sent me a message. He's like, hey, do you want to get a win on every character in arena this time? Because it's here for like 4 months or so. And my response, of course, was, yes, of course, Nick. I love playing games with you.
You told me to never run against that.
I think my actual... Just for context, Colton, by the way, I'm a supporter. I said, hey, Nick, I think you should ask Colton first because I think he would enjoy it more and I think mm-hmm. I would get more value out of watching compared to him. Just to be clear, and that's the truth. There's not even Positivity Wednesday, and I was being nice to you, Colton.
True.
But then we immediately turned it into a game of like, well, what if we just had a document where it has all 160 characters, and as a collective, like the three of us, we have to get a win on all the characters before arena goes away.
Well, so the reason I suggested that is because there's a title, I think. Ooh. Or a achievement in game or whatever, where I think it's Arena God, and you get that by getting a win on every character, I think above 1500 points, something like that.
Ooh.
Which I thought would be really, really fun to work on.
Now you actually have interest.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I thought you were aware of it.
If I can get a useless JPEG, I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's like one of those little achievements. I forget what they called them. But yeah, I thought like, oh, that's a really cool way to get people to engage with Arena and potentially give some variety to an otherwise a mode that could otherwise be pretty stale in terms of champion diversity. So, yeah, I thought that would be really fun for us to do. And maybe we could talk about certain combos or,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
I think I'll set up a document. I'll set up a Google Sheet where it will have all 160 characters and then it'll have a column for Aiden, Nick, Colton. Mm-hmm. where we can like fill it in once we've like completed the character, and it'll be cool to like watch each other's progress and stuff of like, yeah. Oh, Nick and I have gotten Alistar, but Colton still hasn't gotten an Alistar. Like, I think,
yeah,
that'd
Colton
be like a fun thing
Alistar.
To like track. And then we can have discussions about that. I think that'd be great. Actually, mm-hmm. That's a great idea. And it's like still kind of like, it's a little bit of a competition, but not like actually a competition. It's more like a collaborative thing.
Yeah,
and we can do it the way we play games, where like we start one night, we do like 5 or 6 arena games together, and then on Monday you realize that I haven't slept in 3 days and have just been playing arena game after.
Yeah, and
arena
the
game.
Challenge is over now.
And then, yeah, the challenge is over.
I want to. We haven't done this in a long time, and I've always kind of been this person. I love doing prizes. Can we do a thing where our first listener to post in our Discord with the Arena God challenge gets a mystery skin?
I would love that. Yeah. That'd be sick.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. it is a lot of games.
It's a lot of games. So it's not going to be, it's not, if you,
your value,
you know, are behind
value
a week or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't do this because you need it's just one mystery skin, but like, I think it'll be like a fun, cool thing if like someone wants to grind for it. So yeah, if you're the first person to post the Arena God in our Discord, we'll give you a mystery skin.
Hell yeah.
That sounds awesome. It's going to be me.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just an excuse for Aiden to gift an extra skin.
No, to give himself a skin, more like it.
True.
So.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Let's talk about competitive league because there's been some stuff happening.
Some rumblings.
Hey, LCS is going to be a best of three next split? Question mark.
Yeah, it's rumored. That's the current rumor. Yeah, it's going to move to a single round robin best of three. Is the current rumor. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I think so too. I also believe that Mark Z put out a video that said this was the single highest growth that LCS has ever had in a single split.
Yeah, that's a little fraudulent.
So it's true, right? Maybe the numbers are a little misleading as to like the health or the sustainability of the league. But I think it's pretty cool that LCS potentially had a recovering split. How about that?
Yeah, it's just for context. Great. It's good that LCS is doing better. The big asterisk on this is that they moved from weekdays to weekends. They are now getting LEC host after, and they brought on people like Cadrill and I can't think of the Latin America Brazil co-streamer, but.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So there are three large factors that have also maybe influenced this growth, and it's arguable that maybe it actually has recessed. If you don't switch to weekends, you don't get Cadrill co-streaming the games, and you don't get a host from LEC every day. Those are the three factors.
There's a lot of confounding variables that make it hard to take a very clean line from A to B in this situation, but
on the surface, you know, it is an increase, right? So I think it is exciting regardless. It's more just like there is a discussion to be had about like the longevity and health of the league. Of like, I mean, fucking Valorant's going through this whole thing right now. Fucking Taric gets like 70% of all viewers on Valorant.
Wow,
like match.
That's crazy.
And it's like they're in this weird scenario where it's that's fine. Like there seems like the sponsors are fine because he still shows like their sponsors,
yeah,
and they still get the viewership. And the issue is, what happens if he doesn't want to stream it? What happens if he wants to play CSGO or in League of Legends? What happens if Cadrill doesn't want to stream League of Legends? Or what happens if the Brazilian co-streamers want to do something else? How much does that impact your viewership? And then the other big thing, which I know Monty has been a huge proponent of, is in North America, LCS, your sponsors are still North American brands. You're still having to sell off North American viewership numbers, right? And turns out North American brands don't want to pay for European or like Brazil numbers. So we still might see the health of the LCS decline because we're still seeing a potential, who knows, maybe all the viewers that Cadrill's converting are North American viewers, a potential drop in viewership from North America for like sponsorship dollars, right? That's the idea.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess, I don't know, my perspective is it's a good thing that they've identified these things as positive and taken those actions though, right? Like, it is a good thing that the LCS is improving membership wise. Is it going to be sustainable? Probably not. And maybe that's okay. I still think they should script it and turn it into the WWE of esports.
Yeah. I think it's good. Either way, I think I didn't watch all LCS this split compared to last. That being said, I think overall it was a better product from what I've seen. The turnaround times were better. The games were closer. I think having 8 teams in the league rather than 10 has made like it more competitive and more interesting. I hope that is maintained.
Yeah. I also think the switch to best of three will be really, really interesting. And from the little bit that I did watch, it really seemed like the like pre-recorded drafts, like sped up game or in between game time a lot, like a ton.
Yeah, we'll see less of that with the change to best of three. That's like the only downside is obviously you can't pre-record game two and three of a draft when the team's already on stage. I mean, I guess maybe you could. No, you probably, they probably won't, because they didn't do it in playoffs and stuff. But either way, like it is a good product overall. I was happy with it. For best of threes themselves, I think they're great. That's the format that the good regions use, so it's good to use that format.
That's wild.
Only issue that I have, which I think I'd rather have best of threes with single round robin than best of ones with double round robin, is you do only see maybe like the FlyQuest and Cloud9s of the world play each other once in a split, which means if, say, Cloud9 and FlyQuest play each other week one, let's use last split's framework, then you have a slumping ugly Cloud9 and they kind of just get demoed and you're like, oh, that's the second best team in the league, and they don't play each other again, right? Mm-hmm. Versus if they play week eight of the league, I think Cloud9 just like swamps them, like you know what I mean, like there's the better looking team. So there is that issue of like it is a long split and you're only playing once, which means results may vary based on teams and their like current swings, but I think that's like fine. I don't think it's actually a big of a deal, especially in a world in which like the top six go to playoffs anyways. Like
I do think it'll probably be very rare that a good team gets left out because of how they performed early or late in the split, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think like ultimately that is always going to be a factor in the League of Legends esports scene, is not your strength the day of playoffs, but your ability to adapt to all the metas between, you know, week one and final week of playoffs. Right, like there is something to be said that, like, you know, maybe the top three out of a region for a split might not be the teams that place 1, 2, 3 in playoffs, because those first, you know, 8 weeks should matter to a degree. And like, if you were bad for the first 6 weeks, let's say, and then there's a patch in week 7 and 8, like you really figure it out and then you crush playoffs, like that should matter, but it shouldn't necessarily mean that you're just like number one automatically because you were good for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. I'm very excited. I think it's a good format. Hopefully we see it in LEC as well at some point. Theirs is good enough. They have best of one for only like a couple weeks, and then it goes to best of three.
Yeah, and I think they have a pretty extensive like playoff system with they have three splits, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think those those are a bit better at, you know, gauging the strength of a team.
For sure.
Cool. So LPL moving to Fearless.
Rumored, yeah. I've only seen one thing about this. I don't know if it will or not. For those who don't know, Fearless Draft is the format that currently the LDL uses, which is the LPL Academy League. I think they're the only league that uses it. Maybe some other amateur leagues use it. So the format, for those who do not know, is... I had it written down here. So teams are not allowed to pick champions that have been played in previous games of a series. So, and that's not fully the rules. Okay, these are written down wrong, because it's only the champions that win that aren't allowed to be played again in the series, if I'm correct, I believe. So team one wins with Corki. Corki is not allowed to, fuck, I hate this format, dude. It's so confusing. And people always like tell me that I'm wrong, that I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure the way it works is that if team one wins with Corki in game one, team one is not allowed to use Corki for the rest of the series. But team B
but
can
team
pick
two can. Yeah.
Yes. Team two can use
team one and team B.
Team one. And then team B can still use Corki, right? So I think it's a shit format.
Interesting.
I think it's just half-assed. I think My issues with it are that it doesn't go too far enough, and the rest of the world doesn't use it, right? So, first of all, the rest of the world all just uses regular draft, which is fine. And then second of all, if you're going to do a format like this, why not just make it so that the character can't be picked by either team, right? Or go as far as any character picked, win or lose, can't be picked, right? That's what we've seen in the Drew 2 tournaments, right? Where, like, if Yone's picked, Yone can't be played by either team for the rest of the tournament, rest of the best of whatever.
Yeah, I think if you're going to go for it, you should go for it, right? But I also like the idea that the winning team can't pick those same characters again.
Yeah.
It removes five extra characters from game 2 and 3. That's all it does, right?
Yeah, I think that this particular draft format, like you're saying, doesn't do enough, especially in a best of three, right? Like, I think this format, if let's say this was like a grand finals and it was like best of seven, let's say, I think that this works and makes sense because you're going to have enough games that like that starts to narrow it down. And let's say, right, like, all right, game one, they get Jin and Orianna, and let's say those are really strong at the time, they get a win on it. Game two, the other team gets those two characters, they get a win on it, right? Like, the series isn't one more game and it's over. There's still more to play where those new drafts and new characters are going to come more into the equation. But yeah, like, in a best of three, like, okay, great, we won a game already, so like, at most, there's only ever going to be five characters we can't play, right? Because game two, if we win, the series is over. Oh, if we lose,
yeah,
we don't add any characters to the pool that we can't play. So it's like an arbitrary five additional bans. I don't think that that does a whole lot. I could see this format being a lot cooler in the case of like if it was a full tournament or if it was like a longer series, like a best of five or seven. I don't think we're ever really going to see best of sevens in League of Legends. But I do think that it could be really fun for like international tournaments. If we like had more of those and they were more casual, like I think that'd be a really fun concept for, let's say, like an NA versus EU tournament where it's like if an NA team has a win on this champion in this tournament, NA teams can no longer pick that character. Like, I think that'd be like fun as a tournament concept.
Also, just adding a little caveat here, it seems like the first article that I read was incorrect. So it's just picks regardless. It doesn't have to be wins on the characters. So going into game two, there's five characters per team that can't be picked. Which I don't, to me, doesn't make any difference in my thoughts on it, but
it narrows it down a little bit faster.
So in theory, like,
yeah, still not
on game three, you can have 10 characters that you can't have picked, right? That's the idea.
Mm-hmm. I think I would like it if, like, if you logging it in would ban it regardless for both teams, right? Like,
yeah,
only one team could play Kassante the entire series, for example. But also only for a tournament. I am of the opinion that that Fearless would take away a lot of, draft strategy,
mm-hmm.
And flex picks, like things like that, that I think make professional league pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think additionally, it would take away one of my favorite things at international events in best of threes or fives, which is seeing both sides of a matchup and like, let's say like, you know, see Zeus playing Jace into Aatrox winning and then playing Aatrox into Jace and also winning. Like, I love seeing that at a high level.
Well,
it's also nice just to see pro players play characters they're good at, right? Versus like, well, Gragas is really good here, but I know Zeus doesn't have a lot of games on it, so I guess you just have to pick it, you know, something like that.
The North American example right now is APA, right? Like, he's known to play Ziggs, and he's like the only person that plays Ziggs, right? And so he plays Ziggs once and it's gone. I feel like him being really good at this niche character that no one plays feels like it shouldn't be a punishment thing. It feels like the cool thing about being not a one trick, obviously, but being a threat
having
on
a pocket
character,
pick, let's
yeah,
say.
Is that the enemy team might have to use a ban on a character they normally would not, right?
I mean, you saw that all the time with Froggen, right? Like,
yeah.
Literally no one else would play Anivia, but some teams would still have to ban it out just to be safe.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the idea of, like, if let's say we went to, like, the furthest degree of this where it's like if it gets picked by either team, it's banned for both teams. Like, imagine your first pick against Froggen, you pick Anivia just so that he can't play it for the rest of the tournament or the rest of that series. Like, that's not fun, and I don't think that's good for like the competitive integrity, but I think it could make for like an interesting for fun tournament.
Again, yeah. I'll shill for Midas mode, which a content creator for Dota hosted, but essentially characters cost money and you only have a certain amount of money to spend on a draft. You earn money through like different challenges. It's more of like a for fun tournament. I don't know, run to Baron Pit and tell the enemy team you're there to start and you'll get some money or whatever. But good characters are worth more money. So, okay, this is an econ round of this group stage, basically, right? Which I think could be something that would be really cool.
You have $15. These 80 carries cost 5, 4, 3, 2, mm-hmm. 1. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Zeri costs $5.
Yeah. Yumi costs 10. You only have $5. But I was going to quickly say, like, I think that also we've seen it in one region at least, right, which is LDL. So I watched the first, like, some of the games of the first split. It was done in LDL. This was, like, a couple of years ago now, I want to say, like, 2021. And the kind of consensus of LDL, which maybe this is just because it's an academy league and not an actual league, was rather than pro players use this format and be forced to learn how to play new things, one of two things happened, right? Instead of it being like, oh, I now have to pick up cool mid lane pocket pick, it turned out that in game three, people just played shit they weren't comfortable with and the game quality was super low. That was that was the most common turnout.
Shocking.
Or the second most common was instead of picking up like new meta, like hot picks, people would just resort to, rather than A and B tier mid laners, they just resort to C tier mid laner, right? So if you look at current pro play meta for mid, it's like Azir, Orianna, Talia, whatever. I could see the Fearless being in, and you play Azir game one, they pick Orianna or whatever in game two, and then Talia's banned, so you just go to Syndra, right? Rather than picking up or learning a new mid laner that like is meta, you just resort back to a lower tier mid that you're comfortable with. That's just the reality. I don't like saying that pro players are lazy, but it feels like with meta adaptations, pro players are really slow to adapt and are much willing to resort back to a rotation of older mids that aren't meta than to learn newer things, right?
And I think that they're like, right, there is some, like, obviously there's some hesitance and resistance to that change, but like it is difficult to pick up new characters at the highest level of play. And like it makes sense that they would rather play, you know, a B tier character that they are very comfortable and experienced on, as opposed to an A tier character that they have less experience on, right? Like that makes sense. And I think that would be the advice that like anyone would give you when you're trying to climb, is like, you know, you can play this character who's maybe not the strongest on this patch, but you have 100,000 masteries and have been playing them for 3 years, or you can pick up new flavor of the month, and sure, maybe they're strong right now, but you're probably going to lose the first 15 games while you learn them. And like, yes, it is their full-time job to play League of Legends and like learn these new characters that are strong, but you know, I think that to give them some credit, right, like to be able to play it against, you know, let's go, like if I'm trying to play a new mid lane character against Caps or Faker or like whatever good mid laner you want to use, like I better be really comfortable on that character because my opponent is going to punish me.
Yeah,
I mean, if we were to just say that, you know, being good at a character would take 50 games, right? How many days do you think that would take? Of like 12-hour a day playing.
Take me one day to
I think,
but like probably 2 days minimum, right?
I don't think it's as like, so once again, I think it's hard to learn to like the 100% level, but I think to get to the 95% level to 90% level, so many characters share themes, right? Like, and I think those themes are like super underrated when people talk about stuff like this. Like the difference between Orianna and Syndra, guess what? They don't share any abilities, but they both play like a control mage, right? You use your abilities to zone enemies. You maintain pace and control of the lane. Like if Syndra came out today, you get to, like a Caps of the world or a Faker of the world gets to 90% effectiveness day two of her, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, maybe like you could argue, like remember when LS was trying to push people to play like Ivern mid and shit like that, and like he got fucking fudged to play Ivern mid, I think that one game, that shit like that, where it's like, okay, you have no basis to play this character, right? That's gonna take some time to like learn stuff, but if a character shares a theme, man, I really don't think it's as hard as people make it out to be.
No, I don't think it's impossible, but it's also like the highest level of pro play, right?
Yeah, one thing I do want to say is that I hope that we see it in LPL, not because I think it's a good format, not because, like, I mean, fucking no one else in the world is doing it, so it's useless anyways to do. If, like, why the fuck is LPL going to do this and then go to Worlds and do a different format? It makes no fucking sense. But if it is done well and all the LPL mids and whatever rules learn new characters and it allows for a more variety of characters, that's fucking awesome. I just think that that is probably not the likely outcome. But once
yeah, that's probably a pipe dream.
We've mm-hmm. only seen an LDL, and maybe just the level of challenger, like academy mid laners, isn't to the point where you can just throw them on like newer stuff. But mm-hmm. we'll see.
Yeah, cool. So we're not for Fearless Draft, right?
No, I think it's not fleshed out.
I think it doesn't make sense for a competitive league, but it could make an interesting, like, for fun tournament. I think that's the only. Place I would see that is useful. In academy leagues, I think it makes a little bit more sense, where maybe it's like we want to make sure that these players are a little more flexible and learn multiple characters. Like if I'm in an academy league and I just play the same character every single game, then probably that player doesn't have a great chance of going up a league if, like, we've only ever seen them on Rumble, let's say. Like,
whatever happened to
their academy experience is 35 games on Rumble and one loss on something else.
Whatever happened to that one jungler who played Karthus, like, better than anyone else?
Malice.
Does he still play?
He was playing for academy. I don't think he plays for academy anymore, but yeah, no, like, it's a good example, man. I've brought it up enough times where he played jungle for Cloud9 Academy. He played shit like Karthus, Evelynn, and there was another like goofy one.
Udyr, I think, right?
Udyr, yeah. And he fucking had like a crazy high win rate on like Karthus was his best character for sure. He still actually have a Karthus guide saved by him that I wanted to like use because he thinks Karthus is one of the best Silicu junglers in the game right now. but like instead of other academy junglers picking up Karthus because he's just shitting on everyone with Karthus, or Evelynn, which isn't a pro play character at all, or like Udyr, right, at the time, mm-hmm. People just ban them. They just fucking triple ban him. And then they wouldn't like it's just, dude, just people are so hesitant to learning shit, man. It's
I mean, it's the same like thing that we talk about when a character comes out, right? Like if a new character is released or a rework or something, like how cringe is it that you can just ban it in normal games on day one, right? Like you haven't even played against this character. We don't know if this character is strong or not, but oh, I'm just going to ban it just in case.
Yeah.
I don't know. Refuse to learn to play against this champ.
Yeah, it's really lame, but hey, that's how it is. Hopefully, it works out well, though. I think it'd be cool if it in a perfect world, it's awesome. Or like an even more extreme version of it, right? Like imagine the most extreme version where it's like you play best of fives and every character played is locked out for the entire series. It's like, fuck, man. That would be crazy at the highest level where everyone can play every character 100%. Like, dude, fucking game five drafts would be insanity.
I mean, yeah. go even further. Everything that's picked or banned.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, I would like
every,
that.
Every game drops 20 characters out of the pool, right? Like, that'd be crazy. Would be wild.
It's funny because LS has videos where I think it's against Cadrill, where they do theoretical, like, drafts. Have you ever seen those videos? They're really, really fun. It's just literally they go back and forth and just, like, they use your format that you just said, Colton. If a character is picked or banned, they can't be used for the rest of the draft. So on game five, you have, what, fucking, how many characters is that? Like 40 characters picked or banned?
It's 20 per game, so you'd have 80 characters 20, out at game five.
Okay, I'm pulling up
so
their...
half the League of Legends cast is gone.
Yeah, I'm trying
to find... potentially, if you wanted to be really cheeky about it, like, you could do some, like... play 280 carries, ban 280 carries, and by game five, there's just no marksman in the pool.
God, that would be insane, right?
Yeah, I'm
right. Like they could do those kind of strats where it's like, yeah, we're gonna play Trist mid and then Ezreal Senna bot one game, mm-hmm. and it's like by the end of this tournament, like there will be no 80 carries in the pool. Hope you practiced Ziggs or Cho'Gath.
I found their video from 1 year ago, and their game five draft. I'll tell you the five characters. I'm actually not sure of the role because they didn't arrange them. Team one is Rumble, Qiyana, Kai'Sa, Zilean, Volibear. Sounds kind of crazy. And then team two is Ahri, Varus, Sejuani, Renekton, Talia. Like, that's cool drafts, man. Like, it's fucking sick. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm excited. I would love something like that, at least for a fun tournament. Like, we're going to talk about it in a second, but Riot's adding a third international tournament. What if for the third international tournament, it is like a fun competitive tournament with this format? If a character is picked or banned, they're out for the best of five.
Ooh, I like that.
Why not do that? Like, for one of your three tournaments in the year? Like,
yeah, I think that would be really fun. And, like, they could year by year experiment with different formats and, like, see what's fun and interesting. You know, I think that there's, you know, like I had mentioned very early on in this conversation, I think that could also be, like, a fun thing to do where if your region picks or bans this character, they are gone for your region.
Ooh.
So it's, like, NA, right? Like, maybe the NA meta is we only play Syndra, Orianna, Azir, right? And it's, like, okay, if you guys pick that, like, NA doesn't get Azir anymore. NA doesn't get Orianna anymore. Right? Like, I think that, again, like, especially in a for fun format, like splitting out into regions could make that interesting.
Yeah, that'd go crazy.
And then when the finals is two Korean teams, they're both just very limited.
Man, that would be wild. Huh. Cool.
Hell yeah.
Do that at Worlds, the finals, there is only 10 characters left.
Yeah. Cool.
Jeez.
Yeah, let's just quickly talk about this third thing. So literally today, there was a tweet rumoring that Riot is adding a third international tournament. For timing wise, it's between LEC's winter and spring split. This has been rumored for a while of like why LEC switched to this three split format is that you have now winter split, new international tournament, spring split, MSI, summer split worlds, right? That's kind of the seasons. I'm curious how this will look for other regions because every like LCS, LCK, and LPL still are on two split formats. So I don't know how that looks. It might just be in the middle of like their spring split or something. I'm not sure. But I think it's interesting. I think more international tournaments is great.
Yeah, I agree. This would be really awesome. I almost hope that it is a for fun tournament, although I feel like the likelihood of that happening is pretty low. But something like what was it called before where there's like the 1v1 on Howling Abyss and things like that?
Battle of the Atlantic.
But
there was Rift Rivals for international teams.
Yeah, like I think something like that would be really, really cool.
So I wouldn't go that far. I think that you can keep it competitive, but have like a twist on it, right? Like we just went through like the whole Fearless or whatever draft system. Like I think having like a yearly format like that where it's a competitive mode, but has a twist is great. I think like you still want to invite the best teams, right? You don't have enough international tournaments to throw, I think, one of them completely in the shitter. There was a joke comment on Reddit, which I thought was pretty funny, of like, what if we just send the worst teams from each region? So whoever places 18th in LPL, and you advance by losing.
That'd be really funny.
But like, no, but yeah, I don't know. I think that you could have a like for fun format, but still a serious tournament. I think that would be great.
Yeah,
like, I didn't mean like a skills showcase or something like that, but something like a little more lighthearted, unlike MSI and Worlds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do an ARAM tournament. I want to see T1 on ARAM.
ARAM tournament wouldn't be bad.
I think it would fit their clash, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think that there's a lot of ways they could go about it, and it would be a nice mix of, like Aiden said, like, a kind of for fun format, but still a competitive tournament.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's not the top comment anymore, but there was a comment earlier of like, I think we really need to bring back like, I don't know what the word is, but like, you know, like Olympic style, like you play for your country type tournaments.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like an all-star. Yeah. Like pick the best in role across five teams. And then
and they're like, I don't care that Korea would probably win. It's like, we don't have enough international tournaments to throw one away on fucking sending
so
Team
true.
Canada.
USA.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the only way that kind of thing could work is if, like, between Worlds and the start of, like, Winter Splits, I don't know how large of a gap there is because Worlds takes 3 months, but if there was more of a gap there, I think that's where independent tournaments could be fun, and they could do stuff like that, right? Where it's just like, you know, hey, we're going to take, you know, five players from five different teams and make like the Korean all-star team, or we're going to invite, you know, any international teams who want to come to an ARM tournament or a Fearless Draft tournament, right? Like, if you separate that from the, like, get qualifying points to get you into the circuit to send you to Worlds, if you separate that out and let people run those independent tournaments, I think you could do a lot of fun stuff.
Or like, yeah, Colton, if they didn't have this tournament, I think a good way of doing it, an international, not international, like a region-based tournament or a nationality-based tournament would be, like, just LCS could host, like, a little... Remember when they did the kickoff tournament for season 2021 or season 2020 or whatever? It was, like, I forgot what the name of it was, but it was, like, a tournament that started before the first game of LCS. And it was,
I don't remember that.
It was a shit show because it turns out most players who are, like, international players don't get there until the first day of LCS, so it was mostly just subs.
That's so funny.
But, like, imagine if you had, like, a four-team tournament, and it was like, for LCS. LCS's four-team tournament, and then in that LCS four-team tournament, it was Team Canada, Team US, Team Korea, and then Team whatever. Like, honestly, it could probably just be Team EU. I feel like that would be, like, a fun local tournament for, like, that LCS could put together.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah, and like, they could also do it, like, if they wanted to keep it, like, entirely just LCS or, like, NA talent, yeah, they could just do, like, a regional, right, where it's, like, you're from, like, the Midwest, the East, yeah, the West, the South, right? And it's, like, yeah, you're going to split up teams and have people playing with, like, new teammates, but, right, like, I think at that point it's very clear that this is not a serious tournament, but, like, it'd be fun to be able to just be, like, Are NA players from the West Coast better than any players from the East Coast versus, like, Midwest versus the South? Like, I, yeah, think it could be a fun, silly tournament.
Have we not had, like, a popular streamer draft tournament yet? Because I feel like that's really low-hanging fruit, right? Like, I don't know. You get struggling to come up with, like, really popular...
there's tons of streamers, them, right? Like, so Twitch Rivals used to do these all the time. The issue is that you can't, yeah, have LCS players in it, obviously, because Riot doesn't let people do that. But yeah, like,
yeah, but, like, Riot, why is there not a Riot, like, a official one, right?
Because Riot doesn't want to do more fucking work.
But, like, have Mr. Fucking Beast on, right? And, yeah, and just pick a team for a weekend instead of taking the week off. Like, any pro players that want to participate can.
Yeah. They Twitch Rivals was doing that at one point, like, three times a year, where they'd have, like,
yeah,
they might still be doing it, where they'd have, like, the Dantes team, the Tyler One team, and then they would draft, like, other streamers for their teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They should do a regional clash where it's, like, we're going to invite, like, the top six ranked players playing out of, like, each state and do an online tournament until we were down to, like, four, and then do a live event. Team Alaska, yeah, versus Team Idaho.
Jeez. Cool. You want to do roundtable?
Yeah, we can do roundtable. So last week's question, I think I closed our note. No, oh, no, it's over here. It's on my other monitor. Whoa.
We're good at this. We're professionals.
Last week's question was, what is your hottest League of Legends take? We got a ton of answers. My favorite came in at the last moment, and it's from Zill. And they said, this might be too late, but I'm but trying just in case. My hot take is that if you get flamed, it's your fault. As in 9 out of 10 times, if your team flames you, you're to blame for something. So I like this, but not because I fully agree. I think there's some truth to it, but it is a hot take, because most
that
takes
is a
are,
spicy
are usually
hot take.
Cold.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's some level of truth. Obviously, like, someone getting mad at you doesn't mean that they're right, but that being said, they probably, like, in most cases, got mad at you for a reason. It's not like they just decided you were the enemy. Whether it's a good reason or not is up for debate, but
yeah,
that is a hot take.
Yeah, it is a hot take. Mine was from Brandon, who said, hot take, surrender voting should be automated, similar to how it's automated when an AFK player is detected. If certain criteria is met, the surrender pop-up appears. And I like this one because he doesn't specify what the criteria is. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think a surrender criteria would be?
Triple inhib,
it auto pops up. I could see that.
Yeah. I could see, like, gold deficiency at certain like thresholds, right? Like, if you're down 5K at 10 minutes, you know, 6K at 15 minutes or something like that.
I think if the texts, the enemy team has stolen whatever pops up, it should instantly pop up the FFO.
I thought you, when you said text, I was like, after a certain number of text messages have been sent in your team chat.
Yeah, that's a good one too. That's a good one too.
If more than 250 messages have gone into chat,
yeah.
It doesn't even pop up, it just auto surrender.
Yep.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there could be. I think that would be so like funny. A good April Fool's joke would be like, if there's after a certain number of pings an FF vote pops up, if Baron gets stolen an FF vote pops up.
Yeah.
So funny. I like that a lot actually. Yeah.
If any player is like zero and more than 10 deaths, an FF vote pops up.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Also, you said April Fools. I don't think I saw a single person talk about this year's April Fools, by the way.
There was an April Fools this year?
Yeah, you had to play Quick Play, though.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
I mean, I think it actually was like a pretty fun one, like from what I heard.
Yeah,
also didn't play it for context.
Ooh.
But I think it was like there were like little like, I don't want to call them Pokemon because I'm sure that's not actually a thing. But like there was little like Pokemon on the map that you'd have to go like collect, and you tried to collect like as many Pokemon, and then if you die, like the enemy team can pick up your Pokemon and stuff like that. I think was the idea of it. I don't know exactly how it worked, but I think that was the kind of the general idea. It looked all right.
I mean, nothing will ever top the. Oh God, what was it that one year with the, oh, the bot messages in all chat?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Whoa.
They're pretty crazy.
Cool.
What's this week's roundtable question?
This week's roundtable question is, what are your current thoughts on ranked? How are you liking the 3 split system? Do you play more or less than previous seasons? How would you like Riot to change the ranked split system?
I'll go first.
We should state our ranked experience this split before we.
I've played 3 solo queue games. yeah, so I mean, it's just like one of those things where I don't think it's because I feel overwhelmed by the number of splits. It's just I've been distracted with some other stuff. But I am dreading the time when there will be no break between the mm-hmm. the splits. Because I think that's going to be a little like frustrating for me. What do you guys feel?
Let me preface it. I have played about 250 ranked games this split.
A small amount.
Colton's going to play like 50 times our ranked games combined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I actually play the game. I don't think that the change to splits has really made any major effect on how I've been playing. I would say the one major difference is that I hit master quickly and have maintained it. And so like taking longer than like a 1 week break hasn't been something I've been able to do without decaying. I don't typically in a year like take a lot of extended breaks. You know, maybe I go from playing like 10 games a week to one or two, but it's rare that I go like a long time period without playing any ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that the change to format hasn't really affected me nearly as much as just like being in Masters and having to play that often for that reason. And like I think the game's been pretty enjoyable and like fun with the changes to the map and the items and like the variants of support items, as that's the role I've been playing the most. Like,
yeah, it has been pretty interesting. A pretty diverse cast of characters as well.
Yeah, cool. Looking through my op.gg. Oh, I forgot I got a Penta in our flex game.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah.
Oh, you did.
That game we almost lost to Aurelion. Oh.
He popped off on that guy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hello, Aiden Rockhart's here. I have played 3 solo queue games on a Platinum Smurf, and I have played 5 flex games with my friends. I think the new system is butthole. But I also think that if they had the old system, I still would have done this. So I don't think it's changed my rank thing. I just think it has made me not want to play. I would have played this little already, but I have no motivation to start because of the system, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Is it just like too temporary?
I mean, I don't want to ever end lower than I did the previous season. I think that is a failure or a decline in skill. And I think the amount that I need to play to be above 400 LP master is way more the time that I want to put in. So I would rather not play ranked, I guess.
That's fair,
so
I suppose, yeah.
I'm just going to play flex and get diamond and flex each season. I think that's like fine. Mm-hmm. It also makes me play with my friends, which is fun.
True. True. Cool. If they want to send in an answer,
you can hit us up on our roundtable in our Discord. That's discord.gg/leaguecast in our roundtable section. Or you can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com.
All right, let's move into mail fight. The first email is from Dippy. You guys say that it's that Challenger players from Season 4 would lose to Diamond players today. Well, I think you need to prove it. It's time to use those sweet, sweet Tumo dollars to fund an experiment. Simply freeze the 2024 World's Champion team in Cryosleep for 10 years, then have that team go against teams made from every ELO and custom game set to a patch the 2024 team would be familiar with by using the robust custom game options that Riot will have implemented by then. Of course, give each 2034 team a month to also familiarize themselves with that patch. Then the LeagueCast crew will be judged for how right they are based on which ELOs the 2024 team was able to beat in a best of 17 match. Dippy.
Dude, I fucking smoke Impact. I roll and smoke him if I play 2013 Impact right now. Like,
yeah, it's one of those things where like I think it's... it's better if it were on like modern patch. I think the thought works like better then, if that makes sense. Because Impact probably does roll us on a 2014, like 2014 Impact rolls us on a 2014 patch.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think all the fundamental things are the things that matter. Like, dude, a fucking interesting freeze on his dumbass, dude.
And then he just solo kills
you. Aiden's shot calling like a madman.
Yeah, dude.
Was your character even released in 2014?
No. I would play against who won in 2015 Worlds. It was SKT again, so it was Marin. I fucking dust Marin in top lane. I freeze on his ass.
Okay. Somehow I doubt that.
I don't think it's close.
Really?
I think it starts
on a 2015 patch though.
I think like it starts to accelerate like the closer we get, like even by like 1 year.
Well, yeah,
like,
for
2016,
sure.
2017, it gets fucking spooky quick. But 2015 before, I think I dust these players right now.
I just feel like you don't like on their patch.
Yeah, I've watched these games. I know it's good.
I mean that's true, but.
And
I just also know what's good.
I just don't think they do good things. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, we're not talking about season 1, but we could talk about season 1 just for this like example. Dude, they're so bad. It's like insanity bad. Like, even watching, I was watching season 3 Worlds. Like, I think last year, leading up to Worlds.
Yeah,
they even CS like shit in season 3, man. Like,
that's fair. What? Okay, so then what year do you think it's like? Absolutely impossible.
2016. I think that's. I think 2015 is the last conceivable year. Like,
yeah, 2016 is where they started getting good.
I mean, that feels like modern league. I think we have runes. Runeterra's Forge was 2016, right? Or was it 2017?
Well, I have no idea.
But either way, it's like it feels way more modern already in like 2016. I think.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. I'll buy that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would have to obviously look at games and all those time periods, but I trust Aiden's assessment that it's probably around, like, 2015, 2016. But I think, like, I would agree pretty confidently that, like, if we reformed Clappin' Cheeks and we played against the Taipei Assassins after they won Worlds, like we could probably beat them.
Yeah. Taipei Assassins, yeah, but that was season two.
I think we could beat them 3v5 right now.
3v5?
Yeah,
I don't know about 3v5.
No, not 3v5. Yeah. No way.
I think so, man.
There's no way we beat them through. No, I think we.
What about
like,
Fnatic? Season one Fnatic.
Well, yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, season one.
They're Europeans.
They don't know.
Cupcake.
It didn't even count.
No. But what I mean is, like, I think if you're saying like only three champions on our team, absolutely
okay,
not.
Okay, we
but if
also
you're saying,
get
like,
my mom and Colton's brother to play.
Yeah, but Warren's goated at the game.
And
I think
mom?
I think Warren.
Your mom's cracked too.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think my brother, if his current skill level went back to 2013 League of Legends, would probably be like high plat, right?
Yeah. That's what I mean, dude.
People have just gotten better, and like the access to information has gotten better, and so that feedback cycle of improving has gotten faster. Right, and like we have built upon the experience of all of those players, and then the players after them, and the players after them, right? But yeah, like if we go back to like 2015, right? It's like okay, we're going to be doing things that like they don't know are possible, like insect kicks, and right, like good wave management, and right, like I think even builds with those are going to be better, like there's just so much that hadn't been established yet. And I think particularly in like a pretty short span, like those players are good enough that they would learn those strategies pretty quickly after seeing them, right? Like if we played a tournament against, let's go with 2015, like SKT, right? I think we would win that best of five. But then I think if we gave them another month after that tournament and then we played them again, I think it'd be a lot closer. Right, because they would be able to learn a lot of those things that we did to them, but when they're seeing it for the first time, I think like we can get three wins.
They only have schooling and education from that year, though, so I don't think they could learn that fast.
That's true.
They haven't even seen the eclipse from this year.
Shut up.
I don't know, man. I it's hard watching like earlier seasons, like.
Oh, it is for sure. Also, the game looks like absolute cheeks. I don't remember it being that bad.
Yeah, like I remember there being a discussion. This is why like I went back recently and like kind of watched the games. So it was like, it was about when Saber was complaining about the game and how the game used to be better earlier because like there was less damage in the game. And then they referenced like Season 2 Worlds or something. And then you go back and watch Season 2 Worlds and you're like, yeah, the game has less damage because I'm 40 minutes into Game 1 of TPA versus Zubafrost and the AD carries are two items.
Yeah.
They're two items plus boots, and then they have like a couple components at fucking 40 minutes. 40 minutes right now, you've been done your build.
The game's over.
For a while.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's so fucking weird, man.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you, Dippy.
Awesome. Next email is from Vigor. Hi, LeagueCast. Hope this email finds you well. I've been an occasional player of League for some time now, although I must admit I haven't really delved deeply into the game until recently. Upon returning to it and starting anew on an old account that had not yet reached level 30, I realized the new players are not familiar with MOBA genre, specifically the concept of lanes and the importance of gold and experience. In most of the games I've played recently, teammates simply don't understand why you need to divide yourself into separate lanes. A game like League differs greatly from a game like Overwatch, where sticking together as a team and pushing forward is the norm. After a couple games of queuing mid, I couldn't take it anymore after being underleveled or having to try to jungle as Ahri and switched to queuing as just jungle. And this made me really frustrated. It got me thinking if there is a way for Riot to simplify or help new players understand these mechanics with something like a better tutorial. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this or if it is inevitable. Best Rengar's Vigor.
So, I have some thoughts. Riot could do a better job because they do almost no job, right? That being said, I think it is hard, right? Like, they obviously could do more because they do less than the bare minimum. Their tutorial is literally you walk mid as Misfortune and you kill a Scion who runs down lane and then you turn into a different character and you like hit stuff and then you turn into a different character and you hit stuff and that's kind of the tutorial. It's just like, oh, that doesn't help. They need to figure out some sort of way. Like, obviously, they recommend bot games, which hopefully kind of tell you a little bit. Like, you kind of learn through osmosis of, like, where people go and stuff. But the game definitely heavily relies on having friends who have already played teach you.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah. I do think it's a little difficult to figure out meta stuff like that beyond what your character does, because that's not something that's inherent to like MOBAs or gaming in general, right? That's a very like league specific thing. Like, hey, two players go bot lane and then one player goes top lane, one player jungles, one player. Like, that's not something that is an easily transferable like skill, right?
Do you think there is a single piece of text in the game, in some sort of tutorial somewhere, that tells you as a jungler, you take smite and you hit neutral camps?
No, absolutely not. maybe the one that says, since you're a jungler, we've auto switched you to smite.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
It doesn't do like the bare minimum of be like, you stay in this neutral area and you kill monsters, right? Like, I don't think there probably is a single piece of text in the game that tells you that.
Oh, no. It doesn't tell you, like, stay in the...
Isn't that crazy?
You have to Google, like, what does a jungler do in League of Legends, and then get a video where somebody says, the jungler's role is to farm neutral camps and gank lanes.
I think the closest thing to have is now they have jungle, like, auto-jungle pathing, so, like, it will highlight camps.
Yeah.
But, like, isn't that insane? Like, one of the rules, you just have to know what that means.
I don't know, it's tough. I think definitely like you're saying, the tutorial could be better, but I think like when to swap lanes, where and when to rotate, like all of that stuff is not particularly complex, but like it's not something that's really ever taught in the game unless you like seek out resources. And like,
you can call out our friends, it's fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, even, like, friends of ours who've been playing the game for, like, 12 years and playing quite a bit, some of them even, like, reaching gold or platinum, like, have no idea, like, how to, you know, go to a certain lane, when to do that, when should you have four mid versus, like, a 1-3-1, like, when is an objective a good fight, right? Like, those are things that I think the majority of the player base just don't really know how to think about, right? Like, I would say probably 95% of League of Legends players don't know, and even probably, like, between... In that five, probably four of the 4% have, like, an okay idea. But, like, even, you know, I'll use myself an example. Like, I'm a low Masters tier player, like, top half percent of League of Legends players. I constantly autopilot and I'm like in the wrong place at the wrong time, or I'm like pathing suboptimally. Like, it's not an easy thing to learn.
I think it's so funny that, like, we won't call it any specific, but I think the amount of games that we play where someone on our team is playing mid, one of our friends, and it's the time in the game where we naturally know bot lane goes mid lane goes bottom, top lane usually stays top on their island, right? And it feels like from their perspective that we're just bullying them out of their lane. Like they're like, wait, why are you coming mid and taking my farm? And like, I don't get resources now, when just like, that's just what you're supposed to do. And it's hard to explain to someone why you're supposed to do that. But it feels like I'm always like empathically like, oh, they think that we're just like taking their shit.
I think another one that I've seen a lot of is because a lot of times, like, the mid assignment isn't always in the right spot, like, a support catching a solo side lane wave and, like, being there for 40 seconds because they can't clear it, and it's like, you're on Leona or Blitzcrank, like, you can't clear this wave. Like, you need to be mid with your AD carry because they're going to die if you're not there. But yeah, again, right, like, that's not something that's very intuitive. It's not something that's easy to learn. And, like, again, I think it's a weird thing where, like, if you're not playing against high level opponents, not doing that's not going to negatively impact you, right? Like if your mid lane stays mid all game and your bot lane stays bot all game, but you're in like iron two, that probably works just fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah.
It's fun though.
Cool. Well, thank you, Vigor. Our last email is from Avery. Hello, just a quick comment on Vanguard coming to League as a TFT only player. It feels pretty bad to give Riot the full access Vanguard the full access Vanguard requires just to play a game where cheaters don't really exist. I've played a lot of TFT and I can't remember a game where I ever thought someone was cheating. Won't stop me from playing, but it's definitely a good reason for TFT to have its own launcher. Thanks, Avery.
Completely.
Yeah, I think everyone would agree that TFT should have its own launcher. You could play it on your phone, true.
You don't have phones?
Also, doesn't everyone have phones?
It's crazy that we have someone who is a TFT only player and we don't ever talk about TFT. Well, that's not true. You guys talk about TFT, but never in like a informational
just a sleeper
thing,
dude.
I guess.
Very rarely. I think it as my interest in TFT comes like and goes, I'll talk about it more. I think also like I could talk about the current meta of TFT for another 10 minutes, but I think you guys wouldn't have anything to say about that, and I don't think that makes for good content. It's just like
just
me monologuing
mean to you about it. Yeah.
Yeah,
so true.
But I mean I would say like definitely agree that it would be nice if you could have a TFT only launcher on PC. If you don't want to give access, you don't have to stop playing TFT. You can, you know, play on your phone. You can get like a tablet if you want that that the OS like supports it.
You can buy a MacBook.
Well, I think
yeah,
like,
that's
you
true.
You can get a tablet for like $100 to play TFT on, right? Like the cost of entry to that is a lot less prohibitive than like getting a separate computer to play League of Legends on, so that Vanguard only has that computer and you can keep your other stuff separate.
Like you can tell your work that you need an iPad for work,
and then you should play TFT on it at work. Hell yeah, that's the plan.
And for the rest of your time, you organize League of Legends game between your coworkers.
Wait a minute.
Cool. That's it for the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to send us an email, it's mail at leakcastpodcast.com. On Twitch, we're KingLardBlueBasket and LeakCastFrost. Visit our website, leakcastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/leakcast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leakcast. Thank you guys, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.